Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want all the grateful people to give him some praise right now.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's great to be in the Lord's house. Amen. It is a very difficult task to speak about eternal things and eternity in a moment of time. Does that make sense? Come on, appreciate the task that preachers have. They got to talk about eternity in a short moment of time. And I feel a little pressure on that today. And you need to pray that he works well under pressure. Can you do that? Amen. It's great to see everyone. We have many people off to see mothers, but we're certainly delighted to have our guests that have come in to be with mothers. And we're glad that you're here. I believe the honor goes to Pastor Argano's mother. She came the farthest. She arrived from Congo this Friday. Let's give her a big welcome. All right, we're going to go to the Word, Psalm 40, and we went there the last time I had the privilege and opportunity to preach, same text, Psalm 40, beginning at verse number 1. The psalmist said, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song. He put a new song in my mouth. Well, God, he put a new song in my mouth. I don't sing the blues no more. He put a new song in my mouth. Something like, God is a good God. He's worthy of our praise. He put a new song. Turn to your neighbor and say, he gave you a new song. Turn to your neighbor and say, you better sing that song. Because God gave you that song. How many of you testify, God gave you a new song? Amen. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. And as I mentioned, we spent a little time on that phrase, he brought me up. Anybody glad God brought you up? But today we're going to go a little farther with this text in verse number 2, and establish my goings. And establish my goings. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise him, praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the noontime. He put a new song. Anybody got a little praise right on the top of your heart right now? You need to let that praise out. Amen. The psalmist said, if we tried to number all the ways that God has been good to us, all the mighty wondrous acts of God, the works of God, they're more than can be numbered. You're standing today because God been merciful to you. You're standing today because God saved you. Amen. And so in the text here tonight, today, the subject was last time he brought me up. And we understand in this psalm, the writer may be describing the mercy of God, how God's mercy came to him in a time of need when he cried for his help. He describes his life condition by condition that you and I can relate to in the natural, in a horrible pit, in the miry clay. It was a slimy pit. It was a mud and mire. It was a pit of chaos and destruction, the psalmist said. But at some point, he cried to the Lord to help him. And the Lord came to where he was and delivered him from the pit. We talked about it. I don't know if it's a good word or not, or if it's even a word, but he got him unstuck. Amen. I'm glad to be unstuck today, because we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and we were all sinners. We were all in the pit of sin. We were all in the slimy pit of sin. And we couldn't get ourselves out. This man, if he had the power of positive thinking, could have got him out. He would have thought his way out. If intellect could have got him out, he would have got out with his brains. If street smarts could have got him out, then he would have hustled his way out. If his personality and giftedness could have got him out, he would have smiled and laughed his way out. If his prosperity and success could have got him out, then he would have paid cash and got out somehow. But none of these things could get him out. How many of you know that none of the things that we possess, our own wisdom, our own intellect, our own street smarts, none of us could get out of the pit of sin. None of us could get out of the pit of iniquity. We needed a Savior. I don't know about you, but I needed a Savior. Mama couldn't get me out. Daddy couldn't get me out. The system couldn't get me out. I needed a Savior. I needed an unseen hand. I need a God who's all powerful. I need a God who's all loving. I need a God who cared about me enough to reveal himself in his power and his saving grace to reach into where I was at. Because I wasn't smart enough to get to him. I wasn't courageous enough to get to him. I needed to know that he's my Savior. Can I get a witness here today? But I want to go a little farther today, because the Lord just, when I got home from preaching this last time, I felt like, oh, thank you, Lord, and I'm glad to relieve that burden off my soul preaching that word of deliverance. But then the Lord began to deal with me. He said, need to go back to the text and read it again. So I go back and I say, okay, then I need to know what it is you want me to preach. And I read a text over and over, and I read about put a new song in my mouth, even praising our God. I said, oh, okay, I'll preach about praise. Amen. No, he said, go back a little farther, and there's four key words, and establish my goings. David indicates to us that there's more, turn to your neighbor and say, there's more than getting unstuck. There's more that God has for us than getting us up and out of a pit. There's more than being placed on a rock and knowing I'm saved, knowing I'm rescued, knowing I'm out of the pit. There's more than being out of the pit. Now in church I sit. There's more than being out of the mire and now I'm in the choir. There's more than just getting out. He established my goings. So when the Lord saves us, he has a plan of action for us. When the Lord saves us, he desires that we move forward from there. When the Lord saves us, he wants us to go some places. He's got some places to take us. When the Lord saves us, he wants us to experience more and more of him. So David said it this way, he established my goings. And that word established in the original Hebrew means to confirm or direct, to ordain, to order, or to provide for. He confirms my goings. He directs my goings. He orders my goings. He provides for my going, which still is really not complete enough for us to understand. So we need to understand what the word goings mean. That's not a word we really use too much in our modern English language, but in the original Hebrew, it actually means happiness or blessing. We
When you put this together, he establishes my goings. What David is saying was, after he brought me out, after he gave me a song of praise, he didn't stop there. He began to confirm my steps. He began to make my steps certain. He began to make my steps secure and meaningful and full of purpose. He stabilized me as I began to walk so I wouldn't slip back or I wouldn't fall down. He makes sure that I go forward. He leads me forward. So when you put that all together in the original language, what it means is he's directing me to my happiness. What he's doing is he's ordering my steps to my blessings. What it means is that he's making provision for my future. What it means is he's fixing my steps that will lead me unto my destiny. I'm just thinking out loud right now. And the psalmist said, he's the one who heard my cry. And I testify, he's the one that heard my cry. And I know where he came to find me and save me. He came to the pit, to the horrible pit. I ain't hear nobody yet. He came, and he's the one that brought me out. He's the one who brought me up. He's the one that rescued us. And at this point, when we've been brought up, when we've been brought out, when he's given us a new song and he's put our feet on a rock, we ought to be, by that point in our spiritual journey, we ought to be awfully fond of him by then. No, I said we ought to be awfully fond of him by the time he brings us out of the chaos, by the time he brings us out of the destruction, by the time he brings us out of our darkness, we ought to really be fond of him. We ought to be thanking him. My God. We ought to be thanking him. We ought to know at that point, he's the one that cares for us. He's the one that loves us. He's the one that has a purpose for our lives. I think we ought to, at that point, I think I have some believers in the house and somebody listening to me right now that you're at that point. You've been that far. You've been delivered. Can I get a witness? Now, I've been delivered. I know it was the hand of the Lord. I know it wasn't me. I know it was the hand of the Lord. I know it wasn't self-reformation. I know it was a transformation from the Holy Ghost that changed my life. I know that. I'm awfully certain of that. I think we ought to, at that point, if we've come that far, turn to your neighbor and say, if you've come that far, then I think we ought to submit to him to establish our goings. Very simply put, we ought to walk where he leads us. We ought to, by that time, trust him. I'm talking about the one who picked you up. I'm about the one who forgave you of your sins. I'm talking about the one who put your sins as far as the east is from the west. Put them. I think by that point we ought to trust him to lead us, because his word says he will order our steps into the happiness and the blessing and the fulfillment and the destiny that he has designed for us. Does anybody believe that? Does anybody need some word for that? I think we do. I think it needs to be more than just a statement. I think we ought to know from the Word of God that he will lead us into our favor. He will lead us into our blessing. He will lead us into our destiny. But before we lay that out, I'm just thinking the happiness and the blessing and the fulfillment that some say sometimes they're not experiencing. Oh, I've been a church folk for quite a while now. And being a church folk, you hang out with other church folk. And every once in a while, some church folk will tell me, I'm just not happy. Some church folk will tell me, I just don't feel satisfied. Some church folk will tell me they just don't feel the joy. Some church folk tell me, oh, you're listening to me now, aren't you? Some church folk tell me sometimes I just don't feel fulfilled. Some church folk tell me I just don't know if I'm in the will of God. Maybe, just because we ain't walking where we ought to walk. maybe we're just not allowing him to move us forward enough. Maybe we haven't trusted him enough to allow him to order our steps. So you see, brothers and sisters, that God's plan includes more than just the search and the rescue operation. God's plan for your life, my life, is more than just getting saved and sanctified and sealed and filled with the Holy Ghost, then sit still in church. God's plan for our life is more than just testifying all the time about where he brought us from. God's plan for our church is more than just singing a new song. He wants us to discover the things of the Spirit and the things that he's prepared for them that love him. He's got some new things for you. Turn to somebody and say, he's got some new things for you. My Bible says that he's raised us up to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I think this boredom idea or this disenchantment or this discontent that some folk get sometimes really only comes when we're not moving into the spiritual blessings that the Lord has prepared for us. Because how could you get bored sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? How could you get bored receiving the things of the Spirit? How could you get bored with wisdom and knowledge and understanding that comes from God? The other time we may get bored in church or disenchanted with and not feel joy and not feel like we're in the right groove or something like that is when we're so self-centered and so self-focused that we're not serving others and we're not loving others. I didn't come to just talk to you today. I come preach a little bit. Is that all right? We can get so self-focused and so self-centered, we think everything's got to cater to our feelings and everything's got to make us feel all good. Then we get disenchanted and we think, well, maybe I'm not in the will of God. Maybe I'm not happy. But maybe, if we'd just start serving others and we'd start loving others with acts of kindness and get involved in the mission like we've never been involved in the mission before and say, you know what? I'm going to go win a soul. I'm going to go tell somebody in the pit, hey, you down in the pit, did you know that if you call on the name of the Lord, there is a God who can save you? You won't get bored when you're doing the work of God. You won't get disenchanted when you get your focus on self and get it on somebody else. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm thinking tonight. I'm thinking about the children of Israel. How many of you know they were all in a pit for 400 some years, right? But God delivered them, right? He brought them out of the bondage. He brought them out of the shackles and the chains. He brought them out of the hardship. He brought them out of that terrible long season of bondage. Scripture says with many miracles he brought them out. And you know the story. If you've read the book of Exodus, you know that they came to the Red Sea. And then behind them was Pharaoh's army. And they didn't know what to do. They were in a place where they couldn't save themselves. They just got out of bondage. They just got the chains off. Here they are standing out there, millions of them, and a body of water in front of them. Couldn't go any further, but Pharaoh's army's coming to recapture them and take them back to the pit. But that's when God worked the night shift. I mean, you know, God does work the night shift. And he caused a wind to come and it parted the waters. And all you folk, all of us, we sat around and said, and God parted the waters. You ain't never seen anything like it. But if you'd have saw it, you wouldn't be sitting saying, well, I God parted the waters. It wasn't like that, folks. I mean, those folks' eyeballs almost come out their head. They got crazy excited when that water started parting. They couldn't contain themselves. They thought it was a dream. They thought it was a mirage. But God parted the waters. And the leader said, let's go. Let's go forward. And they went through with a wall of water on one side and a wall of water on another. But they went through on dry ground. a miracle of God brought him through. Are you hearing me now? And God brought him through on dry ground, and he worked the night shift, and he kept the waters parted until all the Israelites got through. And then God let the waters come crashing back down upon the army that was pursuing them. And they got on the other side of that Red Sea. And the Bible says that they brought out the timbrels. They brought out some musical instruments. And they started making some noise. And they started dancing. They kicked their sandals off on the beach. And they started dancing on the beach. And they was having a beach party. And they was thanking the Lord that he brought them out, and they were thanking the Lord that they had their chains off. They were thanking the Lord that they wasn't going to have to serve the Egyptians anymore. And they were thanking the Lord, for the Lord said, you'll see them no more. I'm thinking they were having a pretty good party on the beach that day. But can I tell you a little something? They were not ordained just to have beach parties. They were not destined just to have a party because God brought them out of Egypt. They were not destined just to have a shout down because the shackles had fallen off. But God said, now you get your party done. We've got a journey to make because I've got a promised land for you. I've got a land where there's homes you didn't build. I've got a land where there's wells you didn't dig. I've got a land where there's vineyards you didn't plant. I've got a land where there's fields that you've never sown in before. But God has a destiny. He wants to establish your going. He didn't just bring us out so that we could have a party on the beach and stay there. He said, I've got places for you to go. Can I speak to the apostolics today? God didn't bring you out of your pit. God didn't bring you out of your chaos. Just to put you in a church so you could sing a new song and not go anywhere. Let me tell you something, friend. If God brought you out of the pit, and he did, if God brought you out of the miry clay, and he did, then you ought to be thankful. But you ought to understand, you can't stay by the edge of the pit and just sing your song. You got to put some distance between your pit and where you... Oh, it's all right to glance back and say, I know where the Lord found me, but you don't want to stand right at the edge of the pit. It's a slippery, miry clay. You might slide right back in there. You need to sing your song and move on, baby. You need to sing your song and put some distance between you and your past. And I know we've been labeled a recovery church, and we got recovery ministry and all that, but at some point, somebody needs to hear me right now, at some point, you need to thank God for that victory. He delivered you. Now you need to sing a new song, but don't stand right there by the pit and say, well, I'm right here. You're not right here because God wants to establish your going. He wants you to move away from that past. He wants you to move away from that past. He wants you to move away from that past. He wants you to have a new song, all right. But he wants you to get some distance between you and the pit. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. This is not just a recovery church. This is a recovery and move forward church. It's a recovery and then walk into your destiny church. You know, I'm thankful the Lord made it easy for me to understand, because I'm not all that bright. As a matter of fact, someone reminded me this morning, you're not all that smart. That's a compliment. It's a compliment. They really mean it as a compliment. What they're really intended to say, I got to clear that up now. And then they've told me this for a long time now, many years now, but they've told me that, you know, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God that's anointed, folks. And I'm not that smart, but God does give me a revelation from time to time. And every revelation he gives me is right here in this book. And the revelation that God gives you from the book will move you forward. Away from your pit. Away from your past. Away from that old lifestyle. Away from those old habits. Away. Hey, I broke up with my past. I don't know about you, but I got a new love now. I love Jesus now. I love Jesus now. I got to get away from my past. I don't walk no more like I used to walk. I don't talk no more like I used to talk. I don't live no more like I used to live. I don't indulge in those things. I'm thankful the Lord made it easy to understand. And he used this analogy for us to understand that we could please him and that we could be saved and live a life that's a witness to him and that we could obtain eternal life and get to heaven. His word says it's a process. And he says that process is called walking. How many times in the Word of God, and we're going to look at a few scriptures, that he talks about walking with the Lord. The Word tells us that he loves us, and because he is gracious and he is merciful, we cannot do this on our own. He knows that we cannot do this on our own. So he says, I'll help you with the process. I'll help you walk. Hear my voice. Take my hand. Trust me. Walk with me. Psalm 89:15 says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk in the light of thy countenance. Now, if you're walking in the light of God's countenance, that means you're walking in his presence. That's not boring. Church cannot be boring. Well, let me rephrase that. Church can be boring if all we do is sit around. Psalm 116:9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Isaiah 40:30-31, this is for somebody that's weary. Here's your promise. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Micah 6:8, he has showed me, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, that is to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. He wants to establish your goings, but you got to take a step. You got to walk with him. You got to go somewhere with him. John 8:12, I heard Jesus say, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You shall walk in the light. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Smiley face, come on. We've got to understand that God wants to take us on a journey, and he wants us to be happy on the journey. He wants us to enjoy the journey. He wants us to be fulfilled on the journey. He wants us to walk into our blessing, walk into our favor. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And here's one of my favorites in 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Paul says, I beg you, brothers, and I exhort you, I encourage you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. There it is. He wants to establish your going, leading you so that you can abound more and more. I think God wants us to make a commitment here today. He's talking to us by his word and his spirit. I don't want to be the same tomorrow as I am today. I don't want to be the same next week as I was last week in my spiritual journey. I've got to go somewhere, ladies and gentlemen. I've got a direction. I've got a purpose. I've got a destiny in mind. Psalm 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Oh, I'm glad to know that even when I'm walking with the Lord, I may stumble, but God's going to be right there to pick me up. And here's a great prayer for everybody, Psalm 119:133. Oh, Lord, order my steps in your word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. I don't know if we understand in our English language what the word iniquity means, but here's what it means. Do not let any evil have victory over me. Do not let any wickedness have dominion over me. Don't let any trouble or affliction have dominion over me. Don't let any nothingness have dominion over me. Don't let any vanity have dominion over me. Don't let there be a lack of something or a lack of movement or a lack of engagement or a lack of involvement have dominion over me. Hey, God saved you, but he didn't save you just to sit and do nothing. He saved you to put you into action. He saved you. You are a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a saint of the Lord Jesus Christ. That requires action. That requires movement. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, you got to move. You got to move. This is how important it is for us to have our steps ordered by His Word. Because there's a broad way that leads to destruction. Order my steps in your Word. There's a narrow way that leads to life. Order my steps in your Word. I want to walk in the truth, so order my steps in your Word. I want to walk in the Spirit, so order my steps in your Word. But the world's trying to get me to go this way. Order my steps in thy Word. Others are persuading me to go this way. Order my steps in your Word. Some of my other friends are going that way, but order my steps in your Word. Living righteous is not popular. Order my steps in your Word. One thing it's impossible to do successfully is to walk two directions at the same time. Is everybody getting this? Is this all right? I can't walk two directions at the same time. Now you say, oh yes you can. You can walk for a while this way. Okay, so I'm walking toward God. I'm walking into my destiny this way, but somewhere along the way, I decide to walk back this way. And I walk back toward the love of the world and the love of the things of the world. And where do I end up? I think I ended up the same place I started. Are you with me? I walk this way. My steps are being ordered of the Lord. My steps are being ordered of the Lord. But then I decide I want to walk in my own way. I want to walk in my own will. I want to walk in my own thoughts. And where do I end up? I end up back in the same place that I was. This is why I say you cannot walk successfully two different directions. At some point, you got to make up your mind, I ain't walking that way no more. My steps are going to be ordered of the Lord. And when your steps are ordered of the Lord, you'll never fall backwards. When your steps are ordered of the Lord, you're never going to backslide. When your steps are ordered of the Lord, you're always going to be in His will. I wish I had some believers in the house. I'm preaching to you from the Word of God. Order my steps in your Word is a great prayer. Order my steps so that I can be free of all the fleshly, carnal, sinful forces that come from within my own heart. Order my steps so I can be free from the influence and force of this world that would lead me astray from hearing and obeying God's Word. Order my steps so I can receive the things of the Spirit. Order my steps so that I can walk in the will of God. I want to tell somebody today that when you have your steps ordered of the Lord, you will walk in truth. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, we will walk in a way that is pleasing unto Him. Hide that word in your heart that you won't sin against Him. Order my steps in your Word. And when you order your steps in the Lord and your steps are ordered in the Lord, you will walk a highway of holiness. When your steps are ordered of the Lord, you will walk in righteousness. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, we will walk in truth and love and faith. When we walk, our steps are ordered of the Lord, we will be free from the dominion of sin. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, we will be free from the dominion of worldly influence. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, we will be free from the lies and the entrapment of the devil himself. When we have our steps ordered of the Lord, we will not walk in fear. When we have our steps ordered of the Lord, we will have a desire to be in God's house. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, we'll find ourselves in a prayer meeting. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, we'll find ourselves in a prayer closet. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, we'll find ourselves in a midweek Bible study. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, we'll be in the house of God. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, we will be serving others. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, we'll love everybody. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, we will not have iniquity have dominion over us. When our steps are ordered in the Lord, we will be in His grace. When we have our steps ordered of the Lord, we have a promise that He'll never leave us nor forsake us.
When we have our steps ordered of the Lord, He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. When we have our steps ordered of the Lord, He will strengthen and support us. When we have our steps ordered of the Lord, His wisdom He will teach us. When we have our steps ordered of the Lord, His army of angels will protect us. When we have our steps ordered of the Lord, His hands will be upon us. When we have our steps ordered of the Lord, His love will surround us. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, His mercy will sustain us. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, His peace will calm us in our storms. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, His miracles will be done through us. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, His miracles will be done in us and for us. I wish I had a house full of folk, and I wish I had some people listening that would believe He will establish your goings. Glory to God. Now here's the deal. Put that all in a small little capsule for us. Please stand. Because we got to get past our out of the pit testimony. I didn't say we got to forget it. I said we got to get past it. Here's where this was brought to my attention. There was a certain church in this city that had no pastor for a long time. And they approached us. They said, "Pastor, would you come and be the overseer of this church?" I said, "Well, I'll pray about it." And I really felt, Pastor Cotton, I felt like, man, this has got to be the will of God. This has been prophesied. This is going to happen. So I checked it out. And I went over there and they said, "Well, why don't you come preach a revival and just get a feel for it?" So I did. And it reminded me of Ezekiel 37. Dry bones. My God, it's a beautiful, beautiful facilities. But the folk were stuck. Stuck. And I talked to one of the board members. They were talking about the situation. And they said, "We're perishing because we're not moving forward. We don't have a leader, and we're not moving forward." And I kept hearing those words, "We're perishing because we're not moving forward." And this person said to me, "How many times can we stand up and testify and shout over the same thing?" I said, "What do you mean by that?" This person said, "Well, that's what we do. Every service, we stand up and we testify and shout about where we've been." We're stuck. I've made up my mind right then and there. I'm going to do my best to inspire this congregation to get past that testimony and shout right at the edge of the pit. And I'll be the first one to put it in the devil's face every day that I live. I know where God found me, but I also know God's given me enough grace to move away from that pit. Just makes common sense to me if I hang right at the edge of the pit, shouting and dancing and testifying how God brought me out, I'm still close to the pit. I'm not going to be a pit dweller again. I'm not going back to that chaos by the grace of God. So somehow I've got to learn what it means for Him to establish my goings. Walk my steps ordered of the Lord, ordered of His word. And when my flesh wants to go one way, whoa, ordered of the Lord. And my own thinking wants to go another way,
God said, no, I've got a plan for you. I'm speaking in the Holy Ghost to somebody here today. You're out of the pit. You've had that experience, but you're still stuck. You got to move. You've got to walk with your steps ordered of the Lord. And if you're feeling condemnation right now, that's the devil. Because there's not a word of condemnation coming from this preacher. This is a word of hope. This is a message of hope. This is a message of deliverance. Get you away from that pit. Get you on the way. And get you into happiness. What does it mean? It means he will confirm your happiness. He'll direct you to your blessings. Establish your goings. Would you just bow your head for just a moment? Backslider, hear the word. Sinner, hear the word. Saint, hear the word. God wants to establish your goings in a dimension, in a measure, in a way that you've never experienced it before. This is the day. God has ordained you to hear this message of faith. And if you'll step out, God said, I'll meet you. God's saying right now, if you'll step out, I'm going to renew my covenant with you. If you'll step out, I'm going to show you a path. This is what's so exciting to this pastor right now, is to know that young people want to know the path of God. Young people, God will establish your goings. Glory to God. I invite everybody to a time and a season of prayer here today and examine your heart. Let God put the searchlight on it. God, deliver me from being stagnant. God, deliver me from being still. God, deliver me from just sitting in church when I can be sitting in heavenly places with you. God, don't let me become so self-centered and so self-catering and pleasing self that I'm not willing to step out of the common and the ordinary and what feels good to me and serve you and serve others in a way like I've never done it before. Glory to God. There's a rejoicing that's going to come here in just a few moments. But for just a few moments, let's concentrate ourselves to be in action with God. Doesn't matter whether you're 12 or you're 20 or you're 38. It doesn't matter if you've just started in your journey with Christ or if you've been in the church a long time. This is the day that God wants you to get an understanding. He wants to move you forward. There's a world that's lost and dying away from God. He needs a church that's mobilized. He needs a church that's moving. He needs a church that's not afraid to trust Him and walk in the path that He's designed for us. Jesus. Oh God, help me now. Help us now, Lord, to receive Your word. Jesus, help us now to receive Your word. Come on, it's been too long standing in one place. You've been too long
I found joy
between two opinions. It's time to move toward God. It's time to move forward. Don't stay in that place.
And favor.
Oh God, confirm my word.
Been changed.
Confirm.
I've been healed.
God says, I'll confirm my word.
Been free.
I'll confirm this word. If you'll just move out.
Deliver.
Move forward.
I found joy. Found peace. I found grace. And favor.
Come on, one last time around this place. Can we lift our hands right now? Lord, we love you, Jesus. God, we're thankful, Father. God, for all that you are, Jesus. God, for your word that went forth today, God. God, thank you for establishing our goings. God, thank you for caring, Lord. God, for being so big, but caring about people that are so small. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we give you all the praise, God. Thank you for speaking into my heart today, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said amen. Mothers, happy Mother's Day. God bless you. You can be dismissed.